deal.
June 30th is Liberation Day.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? I love the communion. It's the best medicine that we could ever take. It's straight from God Himself. And it's free, basically. I mean, a box of matzo bread is like $7 or $8. And a jar of grape juice is $5 or $6. That's not bad. There's some pills that cost more than that. Per pill, for one. And there are no side effects with this medicine. I mean, it's even gluten-free. This is the best medicine we can take. His name is Jesus. But God does want us to discern the body of Christ, what happened in that, in His passion, and what happened to Him on that cross, because it's for us. When we look at this bread, we notice that it's made without yeast. That means that the perfect, sinless body of Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. And He took stripes on His back for our healing. And then His body was pierced and He shed blood on purpose for specific reasons so we can get redemption. And then the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. That judgment that was meant for us was put on Him. He took the curse for us. We need to see Him on that cross bearing all of our sins, all of our sicknesses, and all of the curse. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being, and we thank You in the name of Jesus. Did you ever notice how good that matzo bread tastes? That stuff tastes wonderful. That blood of Jesus is so absolutely perfectly pure that it's still alive because there's no sin in that blood. It is the blood of God. And it's that blood of Jesus that washed away all of our sins when we got born again. And it continually washes away our sins. And it's that blood of Jesus that gives us boldness to enter into His presence and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And Father, we thank You that it's because of this blood of Jesus that we've been put into right standing with You. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we are qualified 100% for all of Your wonderful blessings. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. last several Sundays, we've been talking about the judgment that has been put on the evil part of this planet, and that it's going forth. But I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 20 and show you one of the coolest parts of this judgment that you'll ever see. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little while. And I saw a throne, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, in which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. See, we as Christians await the millennial reign. You know, sometimes people got this idea that we're just hanging around waiting for the rapture. You know something, if Jesus showed up and raptured us out of here, the longest we would be in heaven would be 7 years, according to the Bible. Might even be 3 years. Just depends on how you look at it. Either way, guess where you end up? Heaven is not forever home. Have you ever thought about that? For those of us that happen to be alive at that turning point, there's a millennial reign to be lived on this earth for 1,000 years. You know, this is a pretty cool place that we live in. This is actually a pretty nice place, this whole world. It's pretty neat. Every place I've ever lived has had something kind of unique to it that I really appreciated and thought it was really neat and special. You know, not every place is just bad. There's always something good about some place. And there's pieces of the curse about everywhere. I don't know if you've ever noticed goat heads. That's part of the curse. That's thorns. I could live without goat heads. We didn't have goat heads in Wyoming. But we did have cactus and blizzards. We don't have blizzards in Texas. But we don't have rhubarb. See, there's little things that we can appreciate everywhere. How cool would this place be with the devil out of our way? How wonderful a place could this place be without him in here muddling up, stirring people up, getting them to hate each other over nothing, over lies? See, here's the thing. In verse 3, it says that he should deceive the nations no more. You know, we've all been deceived at some point in time. Actually, we've all been deceived a lot at some point in time. You know, we've been deceived that this country did something bad, so we need to go bomb them. You know, we've been deceived about, you know, if you get sick, you need to go take this poison to get better. We've been deceived about a lot of things, about our money, about a lot of things. The deceiver is still out there. And I don't know why people seem to have this attitude, like the devil's going to show up and just deceive people. He's deceiving people. He's using other people to deceive people. Now, I know every single one of you has seen CGI, which is computer-generated imagery. Every single one of you have seen that. I don't know how many people really know they've seen it. Computer-generated imaging. See, Jesus said, he gave us a warning, said, lo, there'll be many that call themselves Christ. And it says, he's out in the desert. Don't go there. He's in the chambers. Don't go there. We're going to see things in the sky, and we need to make sure that you don't go there. Don't even look at it. Just go back inside. See, Jesus, you're going to know it. You're going to know it. There's going to be no doubt. But here's the thing. People are being deceived every day with this CGI stuff and AI stuff. There's AI, you know, there's stuff that seems real, but it's not real. You're really going to have to use the witness of the Holy Spirit. Don't believe everything you see. See, one of the things about television, if you break those word, that word up, it says, tell a vision. Tell them the vision that you want them to understand. So people see stuff on TV, they just believe it. They say, wow, I've seen it on TV. That's what it is. They said it on ABC. It's got to be true. That famous actor said, this is how it is, so that's the way it is. One thing we have to do is measure everything we see and hear to the Word of God. If it does not rhyme with the Word of God, we need to stay away from it. We're coming in, you know, I've been talking about the crazy train coming to town. The horn is loud and clear. And a lot of people got this idea that after the election, everything's going to be great. You know, Trump's going to get elected and everything's going to be great. You know, it's going to get really, absolutely crazy. See, we have to learn from history. What happened the last time Trump got elected? People went nuts. They were burning stuff. They were taking over streets. They were burning buildings down. They were tearing stuff up. They were looting. They were robbing. They were going crazy. Oh, they ain't even getting warmed up yet. What happens if they steal the election and they say Trump doesn't get elected? There's more crazy. Just know this. The devil is going to do whatever he has to do to try to stay in control here. He's losing. We're standing on his neck. But we have to keep on standing on his neck until he gets in the pit. We have to keep speaking that word forth. We can't just stop and leave it up to some politicians. We have to stay right on the battle line and keep enforcing God's word. You know, there's some good things coming. You look in chapter 21. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. That's interesting. You know how many times I've heard that at funerals? A lot. That's not a heaven verse. That's a right here on this earth verse. Verse 6 says, he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. That's on this earth. Then he's going to bring his tabernacle to this earth. And God is going to dwell among us. Well, that would be a much better deal than having the devil dwell among us, wouldn't you think? I mean, we've had enough of that rat. He's going to be put in the pit. And we're going to be down here on this earth. Living our best life. He's just going to wipe away all tears. Sickness is going to be taken away from you. You know, one of the things about people is we need to have a vision. We need to have a dream. And I've talked to you before about daydreaming. It's important. And that's part of what, whatever you concentrate on, whatever you focus on, whatever you think about, whatever you meditate on, that is bound to come true in your life. One thing that we need to do is make sure we're thinking about this new heaven and this new earth. Think about how wonderful that would be. I know right now during the selection, people are just worried about the destruction. They're worried about everything going wrong. They're worried about the stock market crash, the banks that are failing, the different things that are happening. What we need to do is focus on how God is going to set his kingdom up on this earth. What would you do? You know, if he's going to remove the curse from this earth, I'm going to figure out somewhere without rocks I can go walk around barefoot without getting in goat heads. I used to walk around barefoot a lot up home. I even did that in snow until they gathered me up and said, you can't be walking around barefoot in the snow. This little kid. But here's the thing. What would you do if the curse was not in your way? What would you do if the blessing was completely turned loose on you? Where would you go? What would you do? What would it be like? What kind of fun would you have? Yeah. And, you know, if the curse is removed, that means wrinkle cream is no longer a viable product at the store. You don't have to dye your hair no more. He's given you the water of life to drink of. I mean, you know, when we weaved and wobbled, when we weaved instead of wobbled and we crashed, some of those aches and pains are going to go away. We're going to have complete restoration. And if we lost our hair, guess what? We're getting it back. And it ain't going to be gray. Our vision's going to be restored. Our hearing's going to be restored. I'll be without excuse now. So you're going to have to change the way you start our conversations. I know you heard me. I always thought that was the strangest way to start a conversation. We don't have to guess at what she said anymore. But here's good news coming our way. God has big plans for us. He has big plans for this world. You know, I've always thought that, you know, the way God wanted things to be was in the garden before Adam fell. I refuse to think that He's going to let the devil win. I believe the way things are going to be is the way God said they were going to be in the beginning. And we're going to be in His presence. You know, Adam evidently walked with God in the cool of the morning. How fun would that be? And because of the blood of Jesus, we don't have to hide in the bushes when we hear Him coming through the garden. He already knows where you are. Didn't you ever find it curious when God showed up in the garden and said, Adam, where are you? He didn't lose him. He knew right where he was. God was trying to get Adam to locate himself. And that's something that every single human being on the face of this earth has to do. We have to locate ourselves. We have to find out where we stand. Is what we believe, is that built on the solid rock? Are we absolutely sure? You know, a couple of friends of mine were having a little bit of a hard time. They were going to a certain church, and then they heard about this other church. And my friend, he was a pastor up there at that other church. So they went up there, and they were asking him questions. They kind of hanging out for a little bit, and they couldn't really figure out who was right and who they should believe. So they kind of bounced back and forth. Finally, they just went up and asked my friend, said, okay, which one of you is right? And he said, well, you go down and ask your pastor if he knows for sure you're going to heaven. So they went down there and asked. That pastor said, do you know for sure if you're going to heaven? He said, well, nobody knows that. They ran right back up to him. They got born again that day. See, not everything that we get told in life is the truth. We have the most sure word of revelation in the written word of God that we can get our hands on. Even Peter said, the written word is more sure than an angel. You know, and Peter's seen angels. He said, this is the more sure word. This is what you put your trust in, the written word. See, the Bible tells us to not be deceived by lying signs and wonders. That's in Timothy. We need to make sure that we pay attention to what's going on. See, we've seen some politicians on TV that weren't really there. They can make things appear one way that aren't really that way. I found it curious how Hillary was in New York at a fundraising event, and 15 minutes later was in San Francisco at another event. They had the times documented. These are lying signs and wonders right before our eyes. You're living in the book of Revelation right now. We're seeing lies, lying signs and wonders almost every day. Almost daily, we're seeing these things. How many of you seen the airplane crash into the Twin Towers? You've seen the vision. You've seen the vision. There were no plane parts. Why what's the mess? I kept looking for the plane parts. So why aren't they finding a wing or something? Find something. And the greatest architects in the nation said, it's impossible for jet fuel to burn one of these buildings down. And why was the FBI so serious about taking everybody's footage away from them and not letting the public see it? Because they had a vision that they wanted us to see. See, we're living in a real dangerous time right now. And there's certain people that want you to see things a certain way so that you believe it. You'll say, well, that's the way I see it, so I know it's got to be true. You know, destruction is not part of God's plan. He wants us to live a long life. And in fact, He painted this picture for us right here in chapter 21. He showed it to us. How He wants things to be for us. He's going to set His throne up here on this earth. And He's going to dwell among us. Now Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, I believe it is. Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus went out, departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto them, see not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And that happened. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. If Jesus went through the effort to say, pay attention, that no man deceives you, then evidently it's possible that a man could deceive you. There's deceivers on TV every single day, on the news every day. Do not be deceived. You know, one thing, they've been having these slip-ups. They call them slip-ups. And they show how Harris is leading in the election. That's not a slip-up. That's a projection. They want people to say, oh, she's winning. And then some of them will show Trump leading. That's not a slip-up. Because some people will say, well, if Trump's already winning, I'm not going to go vote. You know, people are lazy. But there's nothing about the television that we need to believe. They're just trying to tell you the vision they want you to believe. He said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Wasn't it? He was watching a video. The guy thought he was Jesus. And they're running around amongst us. But one of the things that they're planning right now, see, they end up letting us know some of the things they plan, pretty much all of it. Expect to see a CGI Jesus in the sky somewhere. And somebody's going to fall for it, and they're going to run that way. Don't fall for it. Do not fall for it. Don't even look at it. Don't waste your time on it. You're going to see some UFOs. I've seen a lot of videos of UFOs floating around. They're just CGI, most of them. Don't fall for their nonsense. Now, verse 6 says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things shall come to pass, but the end is not yet. How many of you have heard, I know every one of you have heard, that somebody's going to start a nuclear war? Every one of us have heard that. How many of you are worried about it? See, we're not to be troubled. We're not to be troubled. Is there, just out of curiosity, if somebody dropped a nuclear bomb on us, is there anything you could do about it? And just celebrate that you're name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and it's sealed by the Holy Spirit and you're under the blood of Jesus. You're going to be in His presence. Amen. Be not troubled. Well, what they want to do is get you in fear. See, if the devil can get people afraid, he can get them to react. He can make them to make a false step or a bad move. Don't do that. You just step back and relax. And if you do need to do something, the Holy Spirit will show you what you need to do. He said, you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled, for all these things shall come to pass. The end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. We've seen all those things. All those things going on right now. There's famines, there's pestilences, there's earthquakes. Nations against nations, kingdoms against kingdom. But all these are just the beginning of sorrow. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You know, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that went to jail over J6. You know, there's even lawyers that didn't even have anything to do with the protest, weren't even there. They got subpoenaed. They had to go to court. Just because they were on Trump's side. Christians are being persecuted. There's a lot of pressure put on the church right now. The devil doesn't like the church. Did you know that? But he's toast. We just need to stay under the blood and keep going forward, and we win. Verse 10 says, then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. We got a lot of people that are trying to ruin other people. You know, they said right there in verse 10, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. You know, there's such a divide. There's a divide in the church world. Not the body of Christ, but in the church world. And it's getting now where there's no gray area. There's no fence for people to sit on. You know, we're seeing now people that are standing with Christ and saying, no, enough is enough. We're not having no more of this nonsense. You know, the gay pastors, the whole woke thing that some of the churchgoers have picked up, we're not having it. The church is separating itself from all that nonsense. And the woke group just keeps sliding farther and farther and farther towards the left. Unfortunately. But that's what happens when the gospel doesn't get preached. In verse 14 says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I've got to believe that the gospel has been pretty much preached all over the world. I don't know anywhere in the world except for one little tiny island by India that the gospel hasn't been preached. Now, nobody can get on this island because the natives will just kill you. They haven't had any contact with anybody, and anybody comes floating up to their little island, they just come out and kill you. That's it. But we're at the end. We're at the end. We need to make sure, you know, be prepared for the worst, hope for the best, probably land somewhere in the middle, have a little bit of food stored up, have a little bit of resources, know who your neighbors are, who you can trust, who you can count on. Know where you're at. The Bible tells us we need to be as innocent as doves and wise as serpents. During this election time, don't put yourself in stupid places. And don't think just because we're in Texas, there's no stupid places. El Paso would be a stupid place during the election time. Austin would be a stupid place. I wouldn't even really trust Midland, Odessa all that much. I would stay home. Have a little food, a little bit of water, and a little bit of ammunition. Just in case. But we're going to hope for the best. Amen? And just because somebody says something, don't believe it. Even if they are on TV. Weigh it against the Word and give stuff a little bit of time to play out to find out what really is the truth. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your Word. We praise you for everything you do for us every day. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over this nation and over this election. We've done what we could do. We have voted. We have told people. We have preached the gospel. We've witnessed to you. We've told people what the devil's doing. We got to put it in your hands. We throw this nation and these people over onto your mercy. And Father, we ask you for a mighty miracle in Jesus' name. Amen.